I invite you to turn with me to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Titled Sermon, Our Struggle Against Sin. I could have very easily preached this entire chapter last week, but I wanted you to go out of here knowing that you are redeemed. I wanted you to leave last week knowing what redemption is. Redemption isn't me being able to muster up enough faith within me, but like those Israelites who crossed the Red Sea, it was Moses' faith. You and me, it's not our faith, it's Jesus' faith. Jesus is the one who paid the price. Jesus is the one who secured your redemption. So I wanted you to go out of here last week knowing that which redemption is, knowing that you are redeemed, and allow that to stew and percolate. The reality is, even as a redeemed individual, you and me still struggle. You know your struggles. You know your sins. You know the things that beset you are not the same things that beset the person sitting beside you. You know the areas better than anyone else that the flesh, the world, and the devil like to target. The devil's not going to take time, waste his time, trying to tempt you in an area that's not a struggle for you. He's not omniscient. He's not all-powerful. He knows how to zero in. Last week, we left with the people having crossed the Red Sea. They were redeemed. We saw last week that baptism is identification. People crossed through the Red Sea, came out the other side, identifying with the faith of Moses. When you and me pass through the baptismal waters, we are identifying with the faith of Jesus. The water is the ritual. The reality is you are identifying with the faith of Jesus. Last week's song of Moses had five stanzas, which we saw in verses 1 through 5, verses 6 through 8, verses 9 and 10, verses 11 and 12, and then verse 13 through 18. And then we saw Miriam's song, which was the last part of verse 21. Miriam answered Moses, said, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." If you are redeemed, the Lord has triumphed gloriously in your life. Sing to him. The horse and his rider, he's thrown down into the sea. We have 3 points today: soul thirst, Mara, which is a normal Christian experience, and Elam, in which we see fruitfulness and blessing. Let's read verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We bless you. We thank you. We thank you that it is you who redeems us. It's you who lead us. It's you who sanctifies us. We pray, Lord, that your word would be applied to our hearts. that you would shape us, that you would mold us as you intend us to be, individually and as a congregation. In your name we pray. Amen. Soul thirst. The reality is not everybody in the world has a soul thirst. Soul thirst is something that only believers have. These Israelites could not have experienced what we see in verse 22 on the other side of the Red Sea. They could not have experienced this in Egypt. They could not have experienced this before their redemption. But now that redemption has taken place, now that they've crossed the Red Sea, now that they've come through on the other side, and they've seen the enemies of God destroyed before their very eyes, now they're at a place where Egypt's cisterns are gone. But they've not yet reached the living waters. They've not yet reached the living waters. It's like this for you and me. The moment that Jesus presents Himself to you, the moment that He shows you the depths and the depravity of your own sin, you're not instantaneously changed into that which you're going to be after you die. You are justified that moment that you confess, that moment that you say the same thing about your sin that God says about it. You are justified the moment that you repent. But then you've got to live your life. You've got to begin applying the justification that He has given you to how you live from day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. These Israelites, they come through on the other side. They're a redeemed people. And they walk for 3 days. Can you imagine going 3 days without the water? And they get to this place called Shur. And there is no water. They're thirsty. Their souls are longing for refreshing. Have you experienced refreshing this week? Have you experienced the refreshing of God's Spirit through God's Word? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul writes, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." What's Paul saying here? And how does this apply to what we are seeing with the Egyptians? With the Israelites. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they had attained good things. They had their own neighborhood, if you will. They had their own homeowners association, if they will. They had their own land. They had their own homes. They had their own property. Yes, they were slaves, but they had certain creature comforts that they had come to rely on, that they had come to trust, that they had come to expect. Now they find themselves stripped of that which they had attained. They find themselves stripped of that which they had attained, But what was gained is loss for Christ. They had to lose what they had gained. They had to lose what they were comfortable with, pass through the Red Sea, enter into the wilderness as wanderers, as sojourners, so that they might know Christ. Paul went on to say everything that he knew prior to Christ, everything that these Israelites knew prior to their redemption, was what? It was dumb. It was dumb. It was manure. On your very best day prior to salvation, all you had to offer God was dung. But God, who is rich in mercy, confronted you, pointed out the depths of your sin. He said, I don't need that. You need the Savior. You need the Savior. And now that you're saved, now that you're redeemed, you're going to thirst. If you're not daily thirsting for the living waters of God's Word, there's a problem. There's a problem. If you're not daily thirsting, if you're not daily longing for the living waters of God's Word, there is a problem. Either you're not saved, or, as Eric pointed out in Sunday school, you've got sin in your life that has seared your conscience. There's always a trip, there's always that trip into the wilderness after you're saved. J. Vernon McGee shared about how before he was saved, he worked at a bank, and even after he was saved, he continued to work at that bank for a short period of time while he was trying to save up the money to go to Bible college so he could prepare for the ministry. J. Vernon McGee said that in those days, he was part of the dance committee at work. And in those days, you always had to have bootleg whiskey, bootleg liquor at these events. He was the same man. He was at that event. He wasn't taking part in the drinking. He wasn't taking part in the dancing. He was just standing back and conversing with some of the other guys. There was a guy there that had been up for the same promotion that J. Vernon McGee had been up for. And that guy says, this is a fine place for a preacher to be. That struck J. Vernon McGee to the heart. He just instantaneously left. And as he's walking outdoors, he's walking down the street, he had the brief thought to go back and say, you know what? I'm free in Christ to be here. But he chose to remove himself from that situation. He chose to remove himself from that wilderness so that he would not be a stumbling block to an unsaved man. Turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This spake he of the Spirit. What is that soul thirst? That soul thirst is the longing that you may have after salvation for the comfort. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? Like how my former pastor, Brother Ron, used to always describe the Holy Spirit. He said that Holy Spirit is the advertising agency, if you will, for Jesus. The advertising agency doesn't bring attention to themselves. They bring attention to whoever they are advertising. And so the Holy Spirit brings attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings attention to the lordship, the kingship of Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings attention to the finished work that Jesus does in your life and in mine. These Israelites were finding no water. That was their first experience. But they're about to have a second experience. And this second experience, after the first of finding no water, is going to be better. Turn with me back to Exodus 15, 23 through 26. They come to a place called Marah. What I want you to take home with you about Marah is a normal Christian experience. 15 verses 23 to 28. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Then he made them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." This is a normal Christian experience. You've been redeemed. You've been through the wilderness. Your soul is thirsty. Your soul is longing for refreshing. You find water, but it's undrinkable. Reminds me, when we lived down in Clinton, Virginia, my dad worked for a short time for a place called Soft Water Service. Down in Clintwood at that time, they didn't have municipal water. You were either on a well or a cistern, or if you were lucky, you might be on a spring. If you were on a well or a cistern, well, primarily wells, if you were on a well, you turn on your water might come out orange because it was full of iron. Or you might turn on your water, it comes out clear, but when you go to drink it, it's salted. Because it's a salt deposit. That well goes straight through. Or you might turn on the faucet and you get this egg smell because you got sulfur in your water. The water filter would make that water that was undrinkable, whether because of sight or smell or taste, something that was pleasant to look at, without smell, pleasant and refreshing to drink. These Israelites knew something about that. They get these waters at Marah, and they're bitter. They find no refreshing from these waters. And so what does Moses do? He's commanded to cast a tree into the waters. These folks are redeemed. It's puzzling to think that somebody who's redeemed would have this kind of issue. It's perplexing to think that somebody who's redeemed would have this kind of issue. In our day, we've got folks who are preaching and teaching prosperity gospel. We've got folks who are preaching and teaching name and claim that if you want it, all you have to do is name it. All you have to do is claim it and you're going to get it. But that's not how God works. We see throughout Scripture that God calls And even though God calls, you still have to live in this fallen world. God arranged for Israel to intermarry. God arranged for Israel to stop at Meribah. God arranged for Israel to drink of these very waters. Why? Because in this life, you are going to experience bitter water. In this life, you're going to be longing for refreshing, and all you're going to get is bitterness. All you're going to get is disappointments. But there's good news. Your disappointment is God's appointment. God arranged for Israel to be right here at Meribah at this very time as His appointment to show His work for them. What disappointment are you facing right now? What disappointment are you facing today? What disappointment are you facing this week? That disappointment is God's appointment to show you something about Himself. To reveal to you something about Himself. Think about Jesus when He was speaking to the woman at the well. She was coming to draw water because she was thirsty. And she wanted to know Jesus says to her, if you knew me, you would ask of water for me, and I would give you from the waters of life. Are you looking to Jesus for the waters of life today? Are you facing your disappointment and recognizing it as an appointment for the only water that can bring true refreshment? Physical water, guess what? You're going to drink it right now. In a couple hours, you're going to need more. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after, for the rest of your life, you're going to need to keep coming back. But once you drink of the waters of life, what did Jesus say? You have rivers of water flowing from you. You cannot bypass your Meribah. You cannot detour around your Meribah. You cannot skip over your Meribah. You cannot tunnel under your Meribah. Think about it with Randy and Cap. Think about it with Randy and Cap. If you've got a cattle farm, if you've got a ranch, you got this calf that it's time to brand. The only way to brand that calf is to take that iron and put it into the fire and get it good and hot. And when you take that iron from the fire, you're going to put that iron on the calf's hide, and that calf's going to bellow. But guess what? From that moment forward, there's not going to be any doubt to whom that calf belongs. Israel's redeemed. Israel is redeemed through the faith of Moses. They're brought to Meribah, to bitter water. God calls Moses to fell a tree into that water, to make the water sweet, to make it drinkable. And from this moment on, there's no doubt whose people these are. That calf bellows, feeling the pain of that branding iron against the hide. The people are murmuring from drinking this bitter water. The tree has fallen into the water by Moses. And from this moment on, there's no doubt whose they are. What are you experiencing now? What era moment are you experiencing right here and right now that's causing you to bellow like that calf? But God's using that era moment so that it's clear whose you are. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 through 23. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is a curse of God. If thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Then turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law of the Son of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And turn back with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55 through 58. First Corinthians 15, verses 55 and 58. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Where's your sting, death? Where's your victory, grave? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is it that makes marrow important? Is it the bitter waters?
No.
The bitter waters are incidental. Is it the children of Israel murmuring? Their murmuring is incidental. Is it Moses interceding on behalf? No, Moses is incidental. It's the command of the Lord to fell that tree into the water. That tree points forward to what? It points forward to the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ makes marrow a sweet experience. The cross of Christ makes the marrow experiences sweet. What is bitter to you today? What is causing you pain? What is causing you grief today? What causes you to cry out, murmuring unto God today? Look at the cross. The cross changes everything. Then we see Elam, fruitfulness and blessing, verse 27. So from Merah they come to Elam, where there are 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they camp there by the waters. In this life, you're going to have your Merahs, and you're going to have your Elims. You're going to have your normal Christian experiences in which you experience bitterness and suffering and hardship, and you're going to have those moments of fruitfulness and blessing like Elam. Peter's book of Acts was put in prison, in the innermost part of the prison. Peter experienced his marrow. An angel released him in the middle of the night. He was in his marrow. He was released to his Elam. Paul and Silas had been beaten with rods. At the midnight hour, they were singing psalms. They were singing praises to God. They were freed by an earthquake. They were in their marrow, and they were freed to their Elam. You will have both in this life. You will experience valleys. You will experience mountaintops. You will experience disappointments, griefs, pains, depression, and you will experience mountaintops, joy, and gladness, praise, and thanksgiving. Joseph experienced that. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, put down into the prison. But God raised him up at the right time and in the right place. Moses decided to take things into his own hands, killing an Egyptian. God placed him on the backside of the desert. God brought him back at God's appointed time to do God's appointed task. David was man after God's own heart, but David sinned against Uriah the Hittite, against Bathsheba. But God still promised David that David would never cease to have a man sit on his throne. And guess what? That man has been sitting on David's throne for the last 2,000 plus years. His name is Jesus. Adoniram Judson, the great missionary to Burma, he experienced hardship and trial. What about you? What are your hardships? What are your trials? What are your sufferings? All these things happened to Israel as examples to you and me. All these things. Experiencing those first two plagues that we looked at several chapters ago. Watching the Egyptians experience the plagues. Placing blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Eating the Passover on their feet with their staffs in their hands. Being ready to move quickly. Gathering 2.5 million people for this mass exodus. Standing on the shores of the Red Sea with the armies of Egypt coming down upon their backs, watching as God, and only God, parts those waters, dries the seabed so they have a dry place to walk. And then the very last Israelite crosses over, seeing the walls of water crash in on the Egyptians, who tried usurp God's blessing for Israel for themselves. They were redeemed. They experienced blessings and pleasures of redemption as an example to you. You need don't cross the literal Red Sea as they did. You and me don't have the literal army as they did of Egypt bearing down on us. But we have the world, the flesh, and the devil bearing down on us. And we cross through, not on Moses' faith, but on the faith of Jesus, who laid his life down for you and me. demonstrated his love towards you, and that while you were yet a sinner, he died for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you will never give up on us, that you will preserve us, that you will make us to persevere through trial, through hardship, through our struggle with sin. So that we will come out a glorious people, without spot, without wrinkle, presented to you. And only you. In your name we pray. Amen.